Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. You have no idea how happy I am to be here with you today. We've got another wonderful, amazing show in store for you. And we are, of course, as always, streaming on Facebook Live. You can always catch the Facebook video on facebook.com/talkradionyc on my personal timeline or at facebook.com/conscious consultant. We've got a great show. I just got back in town, was off on the left coast for a few days, so you'll forgive me if I make any mistakes today. I'm still working off of Californian time, so I'm not 100% on the way. Welcome, Roger and Jonathan, to the Facebook live stream. Thanks for tuning in. All right, let's get started with our quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. It's really, really simple. Love what you do, what you're doing now, and you'll become a magnet for all good things, as if you needed the extra incentive. What you're doing now, the universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. I think the universe trying to remind us that we are always a magnet, that we are always attracting experience, people, and all kinds of things into our life. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we think, you know, we have to do something special to attract things into our life, and we don't. Whether we're in a good mood or a bad mood, we're attracting things into our life. We just might not be attracting what we really want into our lives, but we are attracting things into our life. And so that's why it always pays to be mindful of your state, of, you know, how you're feeling, of what's going on inside of you. Because depending on where we are emotionally, energetically, mentally, spiritually, that will determine what we're attracting to us. So the more we're aware, the more we can pay attention to, the more we can be present to it, then if it's not really where we want to be, we can shift it. We can adjust. We can then change that internal dialogue from maybe one of self-criticism, maybe one of criticizing others, and shift it more into maybe a more compassionate dialogue. Shift it into one where we appreciate ourselves, we appreciate others, we appreciate the lessons in life, so that even the subtlest of shifts in our energy, even the subtlest of shifts in how we're feeling and what we're doing, can have profound impacts on the things that we are attracting in our lives. So, you guys know, we are not victims. We are creators. And if we don't like what we're creating in our life, it's time to shift and change. And it all starts with our energy. It all starts with our feelings. It all starts with, you know, where we are, what we're saying to ourselves and to others, what are we focusing on, how are we feeling in our bodies. It all comes to play. So I hope you like that quote from the universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. Kind of a fun one, I think, rather apropos for what we're going to talk about today. All right, let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. Ooh, a nice short quote from Abraham. If you're not selfish enough to want to feel good, then you can't connect with the energy that is your source, which does always feel good. Abraham. This is a really juicy one from Abraham and very much in alignment with our quote from the universe. Ooh, few more people coming on the Facebook live stream. Welcome, Mark, Rebecca, and Patrice. Great to see you guys on the live stream. So what is Abraham saying here? If you're not selfish enough to want to feel good. You know, society uses the term selfish in such an interesting way. I'm not saying that there aren't self-centered, self-grandiosing people out there. But most of the time, when I hear people using the term selfish, what they're really saying is, you're doing what you want and not what I want you to do. So tell me who's being selfish. And if we're not focusing on self first, how can we be there for anybody else in a good way? So what Abraham is saying here is you have to be selfish enough to want to put yourself into the proper vibrational state, into the proper energetic state. And that unless you do that, you're not really connecting with your source, with who and what we really are. And sometimes, you know, what it takes to do that means having to say, Mom, I love you, but I got to get off the phone right now. Bye. You know, sometimes it's having to interrupt your friends when they're complaining about something and it's just like serving no good purpose other than to like make you feel worse. Because unless we are selfish enough to put our desire to be in alignment with what and who we truly are, which is positive, beautiful source energy, we're never going to shift and change the conversation. We're not going to change the energy of the moment. And if somebody calls you selfish, you know you're on the right track. And somebody tells me, Sam, aren't you being a little selfish there? I always say, thank you. Thank you so much. I know I'm doing the right thing. You know, because society, you know, sort of has this undercurrent, this program underneath everything, which is you can't do anything for you. You have to do everything for everybody else. And when we do that, it doesn't serve us, and it doesn't serve anybody else. I say this all the time. We can't give from a cup that's half empty. Because if we give from a cup that's half empty, we're not really giving what the other person needs, and we're only depleting ourselves. We can only give from a cup that's overflowing. Because when we're overflowing, then we can truly give the other person what they need, because when we're so full, right? It doesn't drain us. It doesn't diminish us to give. And also, when we're so full, we don't care what the other person thinks. We're not going to do something just to get them to like us. We're going to see things a little more clearly so we do what's really needed in the moment and not what our ego thinks is needed, or not what our little self-sabotaging voices might say, oh, but you have to do nice, you know, say something nice to them or they're not going to like you. And if they don't like you, you're going to be in trouble. But when we're so overflowing with gratitude, with grace, with joy and happiness, you know, then we can really show up for people regardless of whether there's anything in it for us or not. And you know what? If they're going to be a little bit pissed off at us because we're telling them the truth, but that's what they need to hear, then in order to be in service, that's what we have to do. Now, this doesn't mean we're overly harsh. This doesn't mean we're overly critical. It just means we see things more clearly and we don't pander to people unnecessarily. So, two wonderful quotes from the universe and from Abraham, very much in alignment and very much apropos for our guest today. So I'm going to flip around the camera here in the Facebook live stream. Oops, let's get the wire out of the way and let's get this on our guest. So this way you guys don't have to look at me all night long. I mean, all day long. Oops. Hey, come back here, Facebook. There we go. Don't know why it does that. Okay, so it is my pleasure now to introduce to you intuitive healer and shamanic practitioner, Jacques
Burgering.
Burgering. I had it right before, yeah. And then just in the moment I missed.
It's Burger King without the K.
Burgering. Oh, Burger King without the K. I like that.
Yeah.
So Jacques believes that the basis for every healing is that there is a safe, caring, compassionate environment, a place filled with unconditional love, energy, and respect. As an energy healer and shamanic practitioner, he's dedicated to helping people overcome obstacles while compassionately guiding them through spiritual, emotional, and physical challenges. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you. And I really want to pay our respects to Elaine Woodall, was on my show several years ago, who was an amazing intuitive healer, who passed away. How long ago was it?
It's now 2 years ago.
July 2 years.
Yep.
And that's how we got connected, because you ended up helping her towards the end and taking over and kind of helping her clients and her practice. So I really want to honor her in the hereafter, as they say, because I know her spirit is still with us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. So I always like to start off, Jacques, with some background, just to kind of give our audience some context in which to understand our guests. So you don't seem like you're from South America to me. Somehow I don't think you were born into the shamanistic tradition.
Yes and no. Like in this life, definitely not.
Okay.
But other lives, definitely yes.
Okay.
But in terms of like this life, I grew up in Holland. And came here 25 years ago to pursue a dance career. And the dance career really was, for me, like, it was kind of like the starting point of my shamanic journey, although I didn't know it. I basically saw the Martha Graham Dance Company perform in Holland.
Oh, sure, they're great.
And they were fabulous. And I saw them 2 days in a row. And after that, I was so taken by it, by what happened on stage. There was such intensity and such beauty and such integrity that I was like, you know, there's something there that this is what I need to do.
Uh-huh.
And so after the performance, I asked the dancers, how do you become a dancer? Because like I was an athlete at the time, a decathlon athlete.
Oh.
And I said, how do you become a dancer? Oh, the guy said, it's very simple. You just go to New York and you take classes and that's it.
Well, very simple, but they didn't say it was easy, did they?
No, they didn't say that. Martha Graham also said that it takes 10 years to build a dancer, and it did. You know, so it took 10 years. And And during the years that I performed, you know, I was always looking for that sensation of like that life force that was going through everything that I had experienced that first time in the Martha Graham Company. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is that I actually really found that in her former husband, Eric Hawkins, mm-hmm. and who I started studying with and ended up in the company at a certain point as well.
Okay, so you come to New York.
Yep.
How long did you study to be a dancer?
Let me see. I had a dance career for about 15 years.
15 years.
15, 16 years.
So you studied and then you became a performer.
Yep.
You performed in New York, I'm assuming, other places as
and
well.
Yeah, and outside. Yep.
And why did you stop becoming a dancer?
Well, I was married, got beautiful kids, and, you know, and at a certain point, it was like the bank that was screaming, you know, something else needs to happen.
Right.
And so I became the artistic director of the National Museum of Dance in Saratoga Springs.
Oh, wow.
Worked there for a while, tried to heal that place.
Okay.
And then came back to New York, started, like, studying yoga because, like, I had, you know, stopped dancing and stopped teaching at a certain point. And when I had done my yoga teacher training, one of my yoga buddies actually said something about a Vedic astrologer. And I was like, oh, well, that fits right into my yoga. I was like, okay.
Okay.
So I contacted the woman and we had a wonderful conversation. But at the end, mm-hmm. she said, I don't know why I say this, but, you know, you have to do something with shamanism. And I was like, she said, well, just look in the city where you are, like if there's something, and then, mm-hmm. you know, just take a course and see what's happening. And so I did, and I found Itzhak Birri's course at the Open Center, and I got just pulled into it right away. Like, and it was fantastic, you know, like, and I, that those 6, 7, 8 weeks that I worked with him here in New York, that really like set me off on a path of shamanism. I was like, this is what I need to do, you know.
And for those of you who don't remember, we had Itzhak Birri on the show just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Yeah, so like just really recently. So if you missed that interview, it's on the archives. It's on the website. Go to talkradio.nyc and you can catch it. But Itzhak is wonderful. I mean, he's been, you know, teaching people and working in the shamanism for years.
Yeah, he's really been my guiding force in the years, like starting from that moment.
So like after you took that first class, like did you know this was something that you wanted to do, or just was it more you were just like curious and like, oh, this is interesting, let me learn a little more?
Well, Itzhak used me as his guinea pig in class.
Which can be an enviable and unenviable position
exactly,
to be in.
Exactly, because he did Olympia at the end of those weeks. He said, well, you know, do you want to do the Olympia? I said, sure. And he said, well, then you have to take off all your clothes. I was like, okay. Well, I guess I didn't prepare what I was going to wear at the end of the day for this session. Yeah, so it was, but it was an amazing experience. And I really felt like in the depth of my soul that this is what I needed to do. And this is what I wanted to do. And not only like just for myself, because like the course was set up like as learning a ritual and learning like a healing method. Mm-hmm. But it also, I really felt it was a great way of, like, you know, developing myself as a human being as well. And that, it really gave me a lot of, like, tools to do that. And as soon as I had done that, I was like, I want to do more of this. And out of that, I actually started, like, when I was working with Itzhak in different mm-hmm. configurations, mm-hmm. I started figuring out that this is really, like, something that I wanted to bring to more people than just only keeping for myself. It's great to develop yourself as an individual and as a human being.
Right.
But in the end, you know, it doesn't stop. The buck doesn't stop there, you know. And as you say, like I said earlier in the introduction, you know, you attract people, and you know, and when you start like developing that energy within yourself and opening yourself up and like getting rid of old stuff, then you also start to like attract people that want to hear more of that and that want to and that you want to share that information and an experience with.
Right.
So
okay. So let's hold the thought there.
Yep.
We're gonna go take our first commercial break, and when we come back, let's get into a little bit of like how you started your practice? Like what made you decide to actually work with people? And maybe we can know, talk about some experiences that you had then, okay?
Sounds good.
So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is Jacques Burgering. And of course, if you want to call in and ask your own questions, the call-in number is 877-480-4120. We'll be back right after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, talking with Jacques Burgering.
Yes.
All right.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. By the end of the show, I'll get it right.
Yes.
And of course, if anybody on the Facebook live stream wants to ask a question or a comment, just type it into the comment section of the video and we'll read it off and acknowledge you. So please keep it coming. And thank you for all the love on the Facebook live stream as well. Okay, Jacques. So you studied with Itzhak. You saw it as a great tool for yourself, but then you also realized it was something that you can use to help other people. Was there any like moment or incident or particular thing that happened that just made the light click on for you that was like, oh, I can use this to help other people? Or
you know,
was it just sort of like a natural progression?
It was a natural progression for me in many, many ways because, you know, out of high school, I right away studied history and I became a history teacher in high school.
Oh.
And so the teaching aspect had been like, you know, like an integrated part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as like a history teacher and then like teaching dance and then teaching yoga. So all these things, it was always about teaching and like sharing things and about like helping. Especially that's what I loved about like teenagers, like really see people grow and giving them the tools so they can make the next step on their journey.
Right.
And that was like always there. And the working with Itzhak provided me like really like a new realm to work in and to work on a different level with people.
Right.
And then I found this course, which was called the Jaguar Path in Massachusetts. And there's this guy who connects like yoga and shamanism.
Oh.
And that's kind of like, so that flowed out of like dance, yoga, shamanism, and then shamanism. Like it was kind of like a funny thing.
Oh, okay.
And he provided over 9 months, like the tools to do healings with people.
Right.
And so when he said, you know, like, you know, this is what I teach you, but you know, you want to try that out on your friends. And I was like, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. Like, and I was in the fortunate circumstance at that moment that I was teaching in a yoga studio that doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately, but that I had helped renovate, and I got free space of free use of the massage room, and I was like, I'm going to use that too because it's an asset. You know, it's like, why not?
Yeah,
you know?
New York City getting free use of a space is a very rare thing.
Yes. So it was, you know, that was like I had the perfect setup really to like start practicing, and so I started inviting my friends, and then more people that I knew, and then I started inviting the yoga teachers of the yoga studio. show, and then I started like spreading the word, like when I was like taking other workshops myself in terms of healing methods or Qigong or Tai Chi or whatever. Nice. And so gradually, like it spread the word and me and growing, and as the year progressed during that year, I learned more tools and I could try out more things, and you know.
And how long ago was that?
That was in 2014 and 15.
14 and 15. Yep, yep. So about, you know, almost three years.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right, cool. And so then when you started working with people and you started, did you have any, like, you know, big successes early on that kind of really encouraged you to keep going on this path?
It was really great to work with like the yoga teachers because they were already in a state of mind that, you know, they wanted to change and improve their lives.
Right.
And that really gave me some like amazing setups, you know, some of the yoga teachers, they were like, oh my God, like this is happening in my relationships. And can you work with me on that? I said, you know, let's give it a shot. Let's see where we can go with this. And
okay.
And most of the time with like 2-3 sessions with like the same person, you know, I could work on the relationship issue going back to like earlier experiences. Sometimes doing like a soul retrieval and, you know, and finishing it off with like a cord cutting either with the person that they had been involved with or... Mm-hmm. Sometimes with one of their parents or both parents, you know.
Was there a particular aspect of the shamanic healing work that really spoke to you, or was it just like everything? Like you just, you know, was a sponge and just absorbed everything and integrated it all together?
Initially, it seemed like to be everything.
Okay.
But what I really found over time was that the connection of like having like an experienced understanding of the body really was a great combination with like the shamanic work, because for me the shamanic work became like the spiritual vehicle to work out the traumas, like with a capital T or a lowercase T, like in people's bodies. And so I was able to use the tools of shamanism of indigenous people to change the spiritual and emotional setting of people's lives, and sometimes combine it, you know, with like with exercises that would help them to find like their core center, their physical center, as well to help them support them in the process as well.
Right, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So for our audience who maybe, you know, has not had a healing session with a shaman, why don't we just kind of walk through it, like what it's like, what someone should expect if they go to see, you know, yourself or just anybody, like, and I know everybody is different, but just to give them a little bit of an idea, like why would someone come to see a shaman for healing?
I think that one of the basic things that is often neglected in our society is that we are made up of energy, and that energy, and that we create like energy flow, but we also create energy blockages when we are not able to like process certain things, Our society is very oriented, like as a general rule, like onto like the brain. The brain is the most important part of the body, and that's where everything happens.
Right.
Like in shamanism, the brain is not the most important part. Like in shamanism, like it is the energy and the heart, you know, that are really at the core of everything.
Right.
And it's kind of like a lost. Well, not entirely lost. Like it's like in the upcoming again. Like as we speak, the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But the energy aspect is often like overlooked in our traditional Western. I shouldn't say Western traditional, because in our Western approach.
In our modern Western approach.
Yes. Yeah. Because you know, like the traditional ways are really like the indigenous.
Right.
Ways.
That's how I say it all the time. Yeah. When people say traditional medicine, I'm like, this is modern medicine. Traditional medicine is much, much older.
Right. And it goes back like 30, 40, 50,000 years of like human experience.
Right.
And in earlier centuries, we really our society dismissed dismiss that kind of knowledge. But what you see is that science nowadays starts more and more validating everything that is happening within shamanic societies as well.
Right. So somebody comes to you, let's say they have some kind of trauma, they're not feeling good in their body. They come to you. Like, what do you do? How can you tell, like, what they need?
And first of all, I have a conversation with them and see what's going on.
Right.
And then I am trying to figure out what the emotional underpinnings are to start off with.
Okay.
And sometimes people have like already like a whole story that's ready to go, like about their parents or their grandparents or their brothers or sisters. Most of the time, it's a story that develops.
Right.
And so I'm trying to get a clarity about the story that's there.
Right.
I also try to figure out if people have like a spiritual spiritual practice or if they have a physical practice, because both are wonderful instruments in a healing process, you know, and it really tells me a little bit like if people are how far they're on the road of self-healing. So I'm trying to get an idea of where they're at, and if there is like big emotional shifts at a certain point that's connected to an event in their lives, I am determining okay, which way are we going to go with that? And and most of the time I end up going in the direction of soul retrieval, but not always.
So what do you mean, let's just define our terms for our audience. What do you mean by soul retrieval?
You know, in shamanic societies, the idea is that when something happens that we cannot process, and we call that trauma, you know, that part of the soul leaves. And so what you want to do in a context like that, you want to go on a journey into like people's subconscious, with them or without them, but always with the permission of their soul.
Right.
And you will go on a journey and find out where that piece of the soul is and then ask that piece of the soul to come back. And so you can take it back and put it back into and blow it back physically into the person's heart and in their crown chakra.
Gotcha. And so what typically is the reaction when that happens? Like, you know, when you do a soul retrieval for somebody, like what happens when they get off the table?
It's very different. And like some people start crying because the healing process is so overwhelming for them. Some people are just like, oh my God, like, and it's like there's quarters falling and the light bulbs are going off and it's fantastic, you know. And other people are like really peaceful and they're quiet and they're like, wow. And it's just so each person responds very differently to the process. But you can see in their eyes and you can see in their body language, you know, like you see how their face change, changes, how their body changes, and how, you know, there's sometimes certain movements that they make or there is like more relaxation in their face or body that really shows what has happened, you know. And that, you know, to see that and to see that something has happened, you know, in that process, that's for me one of the most fulfilling parts of doing this work, because you know, being able to like provide a tool and to see that the person says, I'll take that tool, I'm gonna go and run with it and I'm gonna use it because this is good for me. And then the trust that they have to do that is phenomenal. Like that's
so you give your clients homework. So if they come to see you and they you do stuff with them, and then it's like, okay, you should, you know, try this practice, try that practice, or try doing this exercise or whatever, so that then they have something that they're actually doing on their own.
Absolutely, because you know the healing session is really like the start. You know, it is like when the first things are shed and that, you know, that the first things have happened and the major thing has like major skin has been shed. But then the next thing is that people need to take it with them and need to go out. You know, I had this wonderful lady who was a yoga teacher initially, and she started coming for a couple of sessions in the beginning, then didn't come for like a whole year. And in the beginning of this year, she came back and she was like, Shaq, there's something, I need to figure this out. And I was like, I have problems with my money situation. I cannot find the right job that I'm looking for. You know, it's like, I'm done with being by myself. Like, I just, I'm looking for like a buddy. Like, how, How can we do this? You know, can you help me with this? Mm-hmm. And every single time that we started, that we had the session, you know, the first time we worked on finding her power animals, mm-hmm. and she right away, she went home, she started researching it, and she started working with the power animals, and it was phenomenal.
Wonderful.
Next time, you know, there was she started like working with her job applications. Next time was like talking with her supervisor. Every single time that she came in, she took whatever happened in that hour session and the suggestions that came out of that, mm-hmm. you know, both from herself and from sometimes from insights that I had, mm-hmm. and she would run with it and explore, and it's been like an amazing journey.
So then the effects would be both sort of energetic, personal, and like physical and practical in a way.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. It's time for us to take another commercial break. When we come back, let's just talk about like how what you do is maybe different from what other practitioners do, and like, you know, what's your flavor of it, okay?
Okay.
So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be back right after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com. Legalize the earth to continue to
resist the passage of this necessary legislation. Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking this hour with Jacques Burgering on shamanic healing and soul retrieval and all kinds of great stuff. But just a quick shout out to Alex and Amy on the Facebook live stream. Thank you for joining us. Amy, I did get your email. I just got back in town. I'll be responding to you shortly. So I'm curious, Jacques. Were there any like big surprises for you once you started actually being a practitioner and seeing clients? Did anything happen that like really made you personally step back and go, "Oh my God"?
Yeah, I remember. You know, every single time it is still what is still surprising is like the imagery that comes up, you know, like during soul retrievals, the journeys that people take. Mm-hmm. There's something that I do that's called like a chakra balancing, a chakra illumination. And at a certain point, you hold the head of the person. And when you hold the head of the person, it is like this is one of those most intimate moments when people really share whatever is going on in their inside. And what's all going on in there, like every single time, I'm just amazed what is there. Man. But to get something like more like, you know, specific is there was one time when during that same process of the chakra illumination, where you basically open a chakra up and sense with your hands like the energy that's in there.
Right.
And I remember very clearly the first person that I was like, "Oh my God, like this is what I've heard about, like this is what's like the energy that you have to be careful with. This is the energy that, you know, the darker energy. And how... Okay, so take a breath and see what needs to happen now. And so I basically took a moment of like of protecting myself extra, and just say, okay, so this came in the form of like a black dragon, and it was in that chakra, and I just had to get it out, and I first tried to like get it out with my hands and try to like grab it by the neck and then just maneuver it out, but it didn't want to go. So and I was like, okay, you just have to go. You have to go. There's no way. This person is better off if you leave. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, as this process continued, I saw this dragon just drip out of the person and over the edge of the table and just see it just flow into the floor.
Wow.
And just, you know, see it being absorbed by Mother Earth. And it was just amazing, you know, to see that happen.
And so what happened to the person when they came out after the session?
They were like one of the, people. You know, it's like it was like they, it was like, they had sensed it. Like, not everybody always, like, experiences everything.
Right,
but this person was like, oh, my God, when you took that energy out, it was like, whoa. And as part of the process, like, I sometimes drum over somebody's body as well. And the vibration that happened after that, you know, it opened up, like, a lot of light and and new fire in that person's basic pelvic area.
Right.
And it was, you know, and that was something that she also experienced herself, you know. And so, yeah, it was like, it was one of those, oh, my God, experiences where you're, like, afterwards, you're, like, raising your eyes to the sky and you're saying, my God. God, this was like phenomenal. Thank you for being this vehicle of healing, and thank you for letting me do this, you know, this process with people, and that people trust me in this process.
Do people come to you for like physical healing?
Yeah, they sometimes do too. Yeah. And I have worked like over the last couple of months, especially initially I didn't do a lot of things with physical, and I mostly went into the direction of the emotional part.
Right.
But since I've been working in the beginning of this year with Sergio Magaña, he's a healer from Mexico.
Okay.
He taught me healing techniques where I could actually work with people, like in terms of like doing a psychic surgery where you basically call out and pull out the energy out of people's bodies.
Right.
And work with like specific physical problems. Like I had one person who came because of like she was too heavy. She felt she was like she needed to lose weight.
Right.
She hadn't found any ways of doing it.
Right.
And she said, okay, can you help me with that? I said, okay, let's go for it. And so we went the process together with the starting with the psychic surgery.
Right.
And about like 5 weeks later, you know, she called me up and said, no, shock. And like, I lost 15 pounds and I feel like a new person. Like I never felt myself, you know, like when I still had that weight on me, but I feel like something has changed in me and I feel like closer to myself now. And it was amazing, you know. And like another person, she came in with herpes and, you know, that is not, you know, that is like a tough one.
Yeah.
And so we went the practice with the psychic surgery and the follow-up sessions that that happened after that as well. And in that process, you also check the energies that are in the energy field, what is ancestral and what's created in this lifetime.
Right.
And the third session, she came in, she said, Chuck, it's gone.
Wow.
It's gone. It's like I'm convinced it's gone. And so I checked in her energy field, you know, if both these energies were still there, and one of them was gone. And as soon as one of those two is gone, then you know that the problem no longer exists.
No.
So yeah, these were like some. These were like two examples of like
got
the last
some,
couple.
Got some love on that one. Got some hearts on that one. Oh, welcome, Walter and Edwin. All right. Wow. So like physically, and then I take it she went to a doctor afterwards and got a checkup, and it was that's amazing.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So do you do generational and past life healing as well?
No, I do not do that. No. So like, it's something that I would love to know more about and like and figure these things out as well. But that's you know, I feel I'm still like a growing person in that sense as well.
Right.
And there's so much to learn.
Right, right. Oh, welcome, Steve, to the Facebook live stream. So, Jacques, you kind of view the shamanic work almost like a like it's a spiritual practice for you, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I cannot imagine how you cannot.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like you're talking to spirit. You're talking to God. You're talking to the source you're talking, you know, it's like that is, for me, that is pure spiritual practice.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there is, for me, there is no disconnect between the two. Like, you know, it's like I've heard people talk about it as just like, it's just a craft, you know, that you just do the things and that's it.
Right.
But, you know, there's a source where you pull it all out of, you know, and for me, that it is spirit, and it's also like the love that I have and that I feel in the moment that the person comes in for that person and the process that they're in, you know, and it's, you can, for me, I cannot disconnect that. Like, you know, that love for other people is like essential to go the process with them, and also to for them to sense the trust that they have in me. Like, you know, because I think, you know, that's the moment that I start a session, that's what people sense too.
Right.
You know? Well,
what's been the most challenging aspect of doing this work for you?
The most challenging is every single time that you go on a journey with somebody, be it like, you know, during an entire session or like be it like a shamanic journey, is to trust that whatever comes your way, you know, that it is that it's what it is. You know, if you get an image, if you get a message, that you convey that to the person, and that in the end you're still the messenger. You know, there's you cannot judge about what's coming your way. So if I see an elephant, you know, with like a flower behind its ear, you know, just to give a funny example, then, you know, then it's, you know, then that's the message that I need to give the person and say, this is when I held your head or when I cleaned your chakra, this is what I saw. You know, and to trust that, that is, that has been the growing process. Like, and the further I have come over the years, that's the part that I am, that I feel more and more comfortable about. Like, you know, whatever comes my way from the person, it's their message that they need to give back, that I should give back to them. You know?
Wonderful, wonderful. Yep. Ah, welcome, my good friend Swami, who I just met over in California. Thank you. Thank you for the nice comments about the show. Ta and Cole, welcome to the Facebook live stream. Ah, two wonderful, amazing couple. I love them. You're also a Reiki practitioner in addition to being a shamanic healer.
Yep.
How do you integrate the two together? Because, you know, you've been talking about doing chakra work and stuff, which is very typical. And when you have a Reiki practice, you very often work with the chakras.
The Reiki practice for me is, how did I integrate it? There is always like a physical element to anything,
right?
And, you know, and during the time that I was a dancer, you know, that I was able to like sense that and experience that and develop that more and more and more. But now, like in Reiki, you know, with your hands, you know, with sensitive hands, you can feel what's going on in the body, and you can feel the obstacles, and you can feel where the flow is. And Reiki for me is not that different from shamanism. Like, as I've like taken like not only the courses for being a Reiki master, but also like worked with other people as like as a client.
Right.
You know, you find that, you know, people see things too.
Right.
You know, Reiki practitioners, when they are tuning in to your body, they experience things too, and they have messages, and they share that with you as well.
Right.
And
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. So we're going to take our, believe it or not, last break of the show. See, okay, time flies when you're having fun.
It is.
So when we come back, let's just talk a little bit about healing in general and what it takes for somebody to heal, and give our audience maybe some insights as to how they can help to heal themselves. And then we'll let people know how they can get a hold of you. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
So welcome, Lawrence. Lots of thank you for all the love on the Facebook Live. Live stream from all our fans. So you're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Hello, this is Mark Torres.
And Pronto Comics' own Dominic Sperano.
And listen to our show, It Came From the Radio, right here on talkradio.nyc, every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about entertainment, movies,
comic books, and other news.
So make sure you check us out. That's right here, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Wednesday, talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with intuitive healer and shamanic practitioner Jacques Bouguereau. I just want to talk about, you know, healing for a minute, because I remember way back when I took over the center from Giorgio, and he was teaching our acupuncturist Tim, who now works with us in his particular form of acupuncture, is very rooted in Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Is he said something that, like, you know, we're not here to cure anybody, because what are we going to cure them of? Everyone's eventually going to die.
Right.
But just because we don't cure people doesn't mean that we don't help people to heal.
Right.
So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that distinction of healing versus curing, because sometimes people tend to equate the two of them.
Right. So if somebody comes in with cancer, then, you know, what I do is not, I'm not going to say, like, you know, I'm going to cure you of the cancer. You know, when you're going to leave here, like, you know, the cancer is done, you know. What I can do is I can go to the underpinnings of why the cancer was created by the person.
Right.
And most of the time that's rooted, like, in processes that are happening on a subconscious level.
Right.
And so what I can say is, like, I can help you heal that part of you that's subconscious, and it needs to be put back together again, and it creates, like, a different energy for you to work from. After that, your body has to take over and do whatever it needs to do and whatever it can do. For certain people, like in the lady with the herpes, what I mentioned, like in her case, she was able, with willpower and with energy and with the state that her body was in, to make that change and have her body heal herself and also, like, take care of that issue.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that it always is happening. You know, there's no way that there is. Curing is not what we do. Like, I heal people. I help them find the underpinnings and see if they can find and make a change in their life in such a way that they provide themselves with a different base to live from. Sometimes, I had somebody call me 3 weeks ago, and she called me and she said, you know, my mom is dying, and you know, and her liver is giving up and her kidneys are giving up. And she said, can you do a distance healing for her? I said, sure, I'll do a distance healing for her. So I did an extensive 2-hour distance healing for her. And the next morning, I get a brief email. She died. And I was like, and she was like, can you bring her back? I said, no, that's not my job. That's not my job. You know, it's like, but what she said, but why did she die? I said, well, you know, the things that I've seen and that I communicated with her soul as I was like doing the healing was that there were certain things that needed healing. Something happened, you know, when she was a little girl, and you know, that during that helped her heal that, and that healing process gave her peace, you know, and because her body was already so far gone that it gave her peace at that moment to say, it's good. Like, I fought through the disease, I've done this and I've done that, and it's time now for me to go and pass on to the other side.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, there is, I'm not curing. It's really
because sometimes it's just that's their life path. Like Giorgio used to say, everybody has their own, you don't know a person's kama vipaka, which is their karma, so to speak.
Right.
And so he said, like, you know, you can heal somebody and the cancer can go away and the next day they can go out and get hit by a bus.
Exactly.
You know, so it's death is a part of life. And you know, when the time is the time, we're all going to leave this mortal coil eventually. Right. As they say,
and death is really like only like a transition, like it is a change, like and you know, and when you work with death, like we work with death every single day, you know, some of our ideas die every day, some of our experiences die every day,
yeah, you know? and we don't know what lurks around the corner, we really don't. And you integrate Buddhism into your practice as well?
Yeah, for me it's like it, you know, I when I think of spirit and when I think of love, I like to have feedback for myself as well, because I need nourishment as well. Like, you know, it's like, you know, I need to take care of myself.
Absolutely.
You were mentioning like about like, you know, like you can only give in the beginning of the program, like, you know, you can only give if, you know, you have enough to give, you know, if you're not half depleted.
Right.
And for me, Buddhism gives me like a source, an extra source, a reminder of like, yeah, this is what it's all about in life. You know, this is my spiritual, my philosophical background that I'm going back to. As well, to feed myself and say, you know, it's really not about the judgments. It's really not about this, and it's really not about that. Like, it's really about the love that we feel and the compassion that we can create for our fellow human beings, and that's really where, you know, where I go back to over and over again, and it gives me that kind of like an umbrella, you know, because as you mentioned, like, yeah, I'm a white person, I'm coming from Holland, you know, like, I'm not indigenous like in this lifetime,
right?
You know, but you know, but all these healing ways, they're all like fed by the same thing in my experience, in love, and Buddhism provides me that umbrella.
Do you find that people today, as opposed to maybe when you first came over, are more open to these kinds of
topics
and
feelings? Absolutely. No, I feel like there has been like a really like a surge, you know, in the last 10, 15, 20 years, really, you know, and it's beautiful. You know, like it's
absolutely.
The shamans who share their wisdom with us, they talk about this like this prophecy that, you know, that came out that it was time to share their knowledge with the larger world.
Right, because they would never share these things. We were getting lots of hearts on that one.
Okay.
On the Facebook live stream. Yeah. Thank you. That, you know, in the past, they would never sort of teach these things to people from an outside culture.
No.
But it was only in the last 20, 30 years that indigenous people started to teach these ways to Westerners, to outside cultures, and it's really sort of spread around the world, hasn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, with good reason, because, you know, Western Europeans that colonized the world and people from this continent too, right. you know, they pose threats in many ways to the indigenous culture. So, you know, there was good reason for them to keep the information and the knowledge and the experience to themselves.
Right.
You know, and the sad part is, unfortunately, that you see that a lot of indigenous people find within their countries not always the support that they're looking for, and that they're actually happy to share that knowledge with foreigners, you know, white people that come in and that are actually wanting to like perpetuate their
more
traditions.
Open to it than their own people.
Exactly, you know, it's like, and it's a sad story, and they are very aware of that, you know, if it needs to spread, then they need to use any, you know, well-meaning human being that wants to go that road.
Mm. Yeah. So what does the future hold for Jacques? where do you see yourself going from here, or are you just in the moment?
You know, in part I'm in the moment, and in part I am really looking forward to like spread this information to more people, and to offering it to more individuals. I also started like a healing circle in Brooklyn.
Oh, wonderful.
And so then, you know, people have like a different setting of like experiencing shamanism. And I'm looking forward to do more teaching. I've kind of like I put the teaching back a little bit on the back burner for many years.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm slowly growing towards that as well. And
wonderful.
So I'm really looking forward to that part.
All right, great. So if people want to learn more about you, get in touch with you, where can they find out about you? How do they get in touch with you?
I think the most direct way is through my website. Mm-hmm. It's www.jacques Burgering with Burger King without the K and .com, and just go to the contact, and if people want to participate in the healing circles, they can do that too. You know, just contact me through the website. And if you want to mention that you knew about, you know, me and the work that I've been doing, you know, through this program, you know, then, you know, I'll definitely give you a discount when you come in.
You hear that, everybody? If you contact Jacques and you say, hey, I heard you on the Conscious Consultant Hour, he'll give you a discount for a session.
Absolutely.
So take him up on that.
Yeah.
Well, Jacques, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come in studio.
Thank you so much, Sam, for having me. I really appreciate it this time. Thank you.
My pleasure. Wonderful gift. Okay, everybody, let me flip around the camera for a quick second. Ah, no, don't end the video. Why are you ending the video? Oh, well. There goes my Facebook live stream. So I just want to let people know that... We do have coming up next Oscar Nordstrom and his brand new show, Off the Beaten Path, will be joining you, and followed by Adam Weinberg and his show, Is It Plugged In? And also, you're going to see in our newsletter, we have a bit of an effort here to help with the hurricane relief in Puerto Rico. One of our hosts, Priya, has a relief effort going through a nonprofit that she has down in Florida called The Edge. And she sent out an email. I haven't had a chance yet to post it, but I will be posting it shortly. So look for that. And please, you know, let's be mindful of our fellow human beings. There's a lot of stuff going on around the country and around the world. Let's all pitch in and try and help those who need the help. So thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for Oscar Nordstrom and Off the Beaten Path. And we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff, like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.